The day when love is in the air and on hats and in our hearts. I was originally going to talk about love in the romantic sense, since that is what Valentine's Day has come to celebrate. I guess I would have talked about the origins of Valentine's Day and how it morphed from the feast day of several martyred St. Valentines into the day we celebrate with flowers, chocolates, and cards. Then I started thinking about love and being a UU. For Unitarian Universalist churches, it is the custom to include a unison covenant in the service, and ours is familiar to all of us. Please join in. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with all. Okay, we UUs belong to a non-creedal church, one that does not have a specific set of divine beliefs that are the litmus test for true believers. We are, instead, a covenantal church. Church covenants are essentially agreements which promise mutual obligations and to each other, and generally to another entity, whether it be God, the divine, the church, or in Rutland UU's case, all. There were early church covenants among the Puritans, which established the church's membership by those who signed the church covenant. These Puritan churches had creeds specifying beliefs as distinct from the covenants that constituted the promises to each other. Today, creeds and covenants may still both exist within a particular church, but my experience with two reasonably liberal churches, Presbyterian and Congregational, stressed the creed and not the covenant. Every Sunday that I can recall in these churches included the recitation of the Apostles' Creed, and anybody who had this drummed into them as a kid can recite it with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My memory, which may be faulty, doesn't include a covenant as part of membership in these churches, nor could I find an accepted form of covenant for those churches when I searched for one. In researching the history of the covenant in the UU Church, I came first on a covenant written by James Villa Blake, a Unitarian minister, in 1894. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant: to dwell together in peace, to seek truth in love, and to help one another. This covenant does not use the words doctrine, sacrament, and prayer, but does include love, twice, service, and peace. The next iteration that I found for the precursors to our local UU covenant comes from the Universalist minister L. Griswold Williams, who served in Pennsylvania, New York, and yes, Vermont. This covenant was published in 1933, and a version of it is still used by most congregations. You will note the similarities that this has with the Blake covenant, which started with love as well. I think this was an early indication that Unitarians and Universalists were well situated for unity. The Griswold covenant is: love is the doctrine of this church, the quest for truth its sacrament, and service is its prayer, to dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony with the divine. Thus do we covenant with each other and with God. Love, service, and peace are common to the Blake and the Griswold covenants, the Unitarian and the Universalist covenants. The major difference between the Universalist Griswold covenant and ours is the use of the term divine and God. Our church grows in harmony without specific mention of the divine. We covenant with each other and with all instead of God. All implies something larger than each other, but doesn't specify that the all is God. The change from God to all was made between 15 and 20 years ago and reflects the fact that this congregation then and now contains both theists and atheists. Now, to me, there is something of a paradox in belonging to a non-creedal church and having a covenant that refers to doctrine, sacrament, and prayer. Isn't the absence of these elements a factor that has attracted at least some of us to becoming UUs? Having been raised in and being a member of a church that has a specific creed, I was struck the first time I went to a UU service, which was in this church in 2006 or 2007. Not only no Apostles' Creed, that litany, but a covenant that didn't contain any beliefs that I didn't hold. The Apostles' Creed has a litany of beliefs that at one time or another I wanted to accept as true, but somehow could never completely believe. Love is the doctrine. To me, this was a breath of fresh air, something that I could accept without reservation as foundational to living. Still, the word doctrine is a bit troubling. Embracing UU meant leaving doctrine behind, I thought. We have many roads that have led to membership in this church, from Catholic and both mainline and evangelical Protestant, Mormon, Judaism, etc. Many of us have doctrines that we have left behind. Does our covenant mean that we have a new doctrine, a new set of beliefs? If a doctrine is defined as a set of religious beliefs held and taught by a religion, then the seven principles of UU come as close as anything to UU doctrine. Historically, when UU began as a merger of Unitarians and Universalists, there were six principles adopted in 1961, which included a reference to universal truths summarized in the Judeo-Christian heritage as love to God and love to man. The six principles referred to man, men, and brotherhood. This language was viewed as non-inclusive and so was officially the subject of revision over a period of 7 years. In 1984, the Unitarian Universalist Association adopted the seven principles with which we are familiar today. If you are new to UU or need a refresher, you can look in the front of the hymnal. The evolution of UUA led to elimination in the principles of wording relating to Judeo-Christian heritage. And I guess that this was the subject of many long battles at the assembly of the congregations. It eliminated the words relating to Judeo-Christian heritage and love to God and love to man. In part a compromise, UUA added six sources of living traditions we share to the seven principles, including references to Christian and Jewish teachings which call us to respond to God's love. The change in wording was radical, but has stood the test of time, as 30 years later, the seven principles are unchanged. When I refer to the test of time, I would point out that the church bylaws required that the UU foundational principles be reviewed every 15 years. I have dealt with the love is the doctrine portion of our covenant by suggesting that the seven principles are in the same category as doctrine as they are believed and taught in the church. Now we get to what could be a thorny reference in our covenant, that the quest for truth is its sacrament. Wait a minute, we've just been able to reconcile having a doctrine with being a UU, and now we're asked to have a sacrament. Well, what is a sacrament? It's important, particularly Christian, ceremony that is an outward sign of the bestowal of inward and spiritual grace. The Roman Catholic Church has seven sacraments: baptism, Eucharist or Holy Communion, reconciliation, confirmation, marriage, anointing of the sick, and ordination. Protestants are rather less well endowed with only two: baptism and communion. As UUs, we get none of the above as sacraments celebrated in our church, unless you count water communion and flower communion, both of which are distinctly non-theistic. But wait, we now see the quest for truth as a sacrament in our covenant. The quest for truth is not a ceremony or a rite imbued with what is considered sacred, but a way of leading one's life in being true to the highest principles. In that respect, the quest is comparable to a sacrament. And then the covenant gets to service is its prayer. Prayer is commonly defined as a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God or other object of worship. Some in our congregation pray, some don't, but the covenant suggests we all pray through service. I like to think that instead of requesting help, service as prayer implies that we must help where we see the need. On one level, the covenant is full of paradox. A creedal church with no sacraments and without a strong prayer tradition links itself to a doctrine of love, a sacrament of questing for truth, and a prayer of service. There is irony here as we link what we don't have, doctrine, sacrament, and prayer, with what we strive for, love, the quest for truth, and service. I think the UU covenant probably says most to those who encounter it for the first time, as I did, from a dogmatic, doctrinal, religious tradition. I once had a conversation with a congregational minister about a particular passage of the Bible which called on a sinner to go and sin no more. I asked how such an unrealistic mandate could be sustained. It seemed to call for adherence to behavior that was unattainable. This wise minister then said that it was probably added in the first or second century. It was never said by Jesus. And that one of the good things about being a congregational was that there was so little dogma. If I could have a conversation with him now, I'd tell him that one of the wonderful things about being a UU is that there is no dogma, that we aspire to live lives according to shared principles and maintain our church through a covenant that proclaims love is the doctrine of this church. Please take a moment to get your thoughts together, and we can turn the machine off. And someone will pass the mic, and if anyone has any comments, I